We've been talking about a lot of righteousness here these last few days, the last few weeks, concerning the things of God. And we talked about Wednesday night, I think we mentioned about reconciliation back to God, that Jesus did the reconciling for us from the very beginning. The testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of what? Prophecy. So he's the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. Prophecy is Jesus. It is his spirit. It's him guiding us in all things. So we appreciate him doing that for us. But why does he do it? Because he loves us. And he loved us enough to make the reconciliation between the Father and himself, offering himself as a sacrifice. We needed to be reconciled because we fell. We went another way. We took another thought. We did other things other than the will of God. We did not obey. We didn't trust. We didn't move in faith like God wanted us to do. But as Jesus made himself manifest through the prophets and all the way up through the time of the New Testament and into the Gentile dispensation, God has brought us into an understanding that we are no longer in the fallen state, but we're gaining ourselves back to be what we were from the beginning. There was a fall, but we're not back there anymore at that. Where we're at now is following Jesus, walking the light as he is in the light. We're following as disciples. We're following as men and women of God that have chosen to follow Jesus. Not forced, not being a robot, but because we love him. We have chosen to change our lives. We've chosen to do something different with our lives. How many of you remember how you lived your days day after day, never thinking about God, going about your own thing? What we worried about is what the next thing was we're going to get, or whether we were going to have a home, whether we're going to have a car, or whether we're going to do the things. I mean, that was our total thing. We wanted to fulfill the things that would satisfy us. And then somehow there was an opening made, a door was open, and we came in, and Jesus spoke to us, and we saw him for the first time. And when I say that, I'm talking about spiritually. We saw that we had a need for him and that he was ever present with us the whole time, but we never knew it. We were in such darkness that we walked in that and never saw any light. But now we have become the light of God. Ye are the light of the world, okay? And I've been preaching to you about righteousness. Righteousness is God himself. It really is. He's holy. He's righteous. And what's been happening is that as we exercise more faith, God increases our righteousness in him. That's the thing that starts to happen. He increases our righteousness, and we make decisions based on the righteousness of God. There is a right way to make a choice and a wrong way to make a choice. But choices are brought before us every day. Sometimes choices are brought before us every hour. Have you noticed that there are things that you have to think about, things that you have to contemplate? And say to yourself, what way am I going to go? What am I going to choose? Am I going to choose God, or am I going to choose something other than God? Am I going to be with the inward man and do the things that are inwardly going to change me? Or am I outward in my thought and always demanding things that the flesh wants? Where are you at? What is your decision? What decisions do you make daily that God is going to be in your life, that you're going to open a door and allow him to walk in? It's going to be done by the word of God. I'm telling you that right now. The gospel being preached is what's going to change us. The gospel being preached is what's going to save us. The gospel being preached is what's going to make us righteous. The gospel being preached is what's going to make us holy. The gospel being preached is what's going to save us. It's by the preaching of the gospel that these things are going to happen. Will there be things that will try to interfere with that? Yes, we've been talking about that. We talk about those things that try to interfere, and they work by your thought and they work by spirit. We know they're spirits, don't we? And so they work by spirit. Sometimes we don't realize that there are spirits dealing with us, causing us to make decisions that we should not make. And we call that the man of sin. We call it the flesh. We call it the devil. Whatever you want to call it is still a spirit that's working with us. But we have another spirit working with us, don't we? The spirit of the righteous, the spirit of the righteous one. The one that heals, the one that delivers, the one that gives wisdom, understanding, knowledge of God, the one that opens doors for us so that we can enter into the heavenly, the one that shows us the direction that we should follow. Those are the things we need to remember, that Jesus is a constant companion. Sometimes we forget that, but he's a constant companion. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. He never departs from you. Will you depart from him from time to time because of lack of faith or because of fear or because of whatever it may be that's moving you? You will walk away from him. But does he ever walk away from you? He never does. He lives always to bless us. That's the whole thing about him. He lives always to bless and anoint and to keep and to lead. He does that for us. That's all because of the love he has for us. So we've been talking about how close we are. That song talks about it very well. We're getting closer, closer, closer. That's only if you realize where you're at in that conversion point. Only if you realize that God is right there, and the minute you need him to convert something, he is there to convert it. He's there to regenerate it, right in the middle of the thought that you're having. You say to yourself, I can't help myself. I do things, I say things, they're not right, whatever, and I just can't help myself. Yeah, that may be the case for you. The more you get to know Jesus, you will have a helper. He's there. It's just that you have to come to the place where you mature in him to know that he's there to help you. So when those things start to happen, then you start converting. You see how close you are to overcoming that thing that's been bothering you for so long. Some of us have things that have been bothering us for generations, families involved in it, and maybe for generations to come if we're not careful. There are curses that can enter into you, and you can say, oh my God, well, how did this get here? Well, it got here by several means. It may have been by your forebears, or it may be from something you dabbled in, and then you started it. It's amazing. But all curses can be broken by who? Christ. He can break the curse. He definitely can break it. And sometimes those curses cause us much pain. There's much bitterness and hatred in curses, which is why they come to be. Those are the type of things that start to happen to people. Their minds actually change because it's a spiritual thing. And they don't realize that they're dealing with something that's trying to destroy them. But I know something else that comes to destroy too. Why was Jesus manifested? Destroy the work of the devil. All those works, all those things. He was manifested to destroy that. We keep thinking in the negative all the time. Yeah, there's things destroying us. And there are things that bring destruction to us. What if I told you that the Jesus that I serve is constantly destroying the kingdom of the devil? Constantly destroying it. He's nipping at it bit by bit. He could destroy it all at once very easily. The reason he can is because we're slow in coming to the belief in him and the faith in him, because he can do it through faith. We believe in him, he'll act. Remember when he went to his hometown, he couldn't do very many miracles there. Why? Because of unbelief. The people knew him. They were common. You know, they held him in a common thought. And while he was there, he couldn't do much. I remember he stood up in the temple to read, and he talked about, you know, the acceptable day of the Lord and all that stuff. I'm not going through every single thing. He says, you know, the hearts need to be changed and be converted, eyes that don't see, ears that don't hear, all of that. And he said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And some people in the temple, they rejoiced at what they heard. Others, they said, wait a minute, who is this man? We know him. We know his mother, his sisters, all that stuff. They live here in this town. What makes him think he's that person that is talking about? And he spoke some other things to him, and he said the thing that really upset them is when he talked about that widow woman. I think Christy talked about it Thursday. She was not a Jew. She was from another country that he passed through. But she had what? Faith. When he spoke to her, he said, hey, you give me that meal and that little bit of oil you have and make a cake for me first and bring me some water. And she told him, I said, I'm going to get two sticks together. That's what I was doing when you came up. I was getting two sticks together. I'm going to cook this little bit of meal we have there, put the little oil in it. Me and my son are going to eat, and we're going to die because there's no more. It was a famine in the land, right? So she said, that's going to be our last meal. We're going to die. He said, I beg you, I beseech you, make me that cake first. Bring it to me. And by her faith, she did it, didn't she? Even if it was the last of what she had. And she took the meal and the oil and made him a cake, and he did eat, and he drank from the cruse of water. And he said, now go back and look at your barrel. Now go back and look at your water. The barrel was full. It never ran empty during the time of that famine. It continued to have meal in it every day for her and her son. What a powerful thing, huh? So she did what the man of God said first. This is your first works. Believe what the man of God is telling you. Do your first works. Do the things that you're being told to do. And as you do that, you will grow in the things of God. The barrel will never be empty again, and there will always be water for you. See what I mean? This is what we need to do. These prophets did these things through the Spirit of Christ. And then when Christ came on the scene, he did things like that too, didn't he? Very powerful things. So what I'm trying to tell you is that it's time for us to make those decisions. I'm going to read you something. At first, I'm going to talk about a word. There's a word that it's in the Bible a few times. It's called ambassador. Have you ever heard that word in the Bible? Ambassador. What do we think an ambassador is? What do you think it is? Right. Someone that represents a kingdom or a country and so forth. Yeah, we're ambassadors too, but we represent something different. We represent the kingdom of God. The king is that's our Christ. We represent him. And we enter into things as an ambassador according to the will of God. And we're led from heaven. Remember, that's the kingdom on how to be an ambassador. Ambassador to what? To the souls of people so they can start making right decisions. To the word of God that needs to be preached so that they can realize that this is the kingdom we represent and that God is going to do these things for them. You make an alliance with him, he's going to do these things for you. Just like people say right here that an ambassador does. Only we're talking a spiritual kingdom that's brought forth by God. Let me read you something. It's a powerful scripture, I think. I'm going to start in verse 18. And this is something I read to you just this past week, but I'm going back to it. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. Do you realize that you're the reconciler now? He's given you the ministry of that. But how can you minister that if you don't know the word, or if you don't have the wisdom and understanding? This is what you get by the preached gospel. So you can go forth and get the understanding to be what God wants you to be. You need to be a reconciler that knows the word of God and knows the Spirit of God. Does that make sense? Or else how can you be that? And how can you reconcile what you don't know? Okay? So this is what we have to do. And that's up to you to do that. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Man, is that so powerful. He doesn't commit all your sins and your trespasses to you. What did he do? He put Christ there so that he would do what? He would take on your sin. Isn't that true? Isn't that how he reconciled us back to him? So in turn, should we become reconcilers? Yes. In our world, we should be reconcilers. We should be reconcilers inward and outward. Always coming to a point of reconciling divisions between us. Divisions that may be in thought in your mind. Reconciling those things by the blood of Christ, which has been sprinkled liberally on us. And we have become what we become, sons of God. And so he sprinkled his blood on us. Isn't that true? By the dying on the cross. And it says that brought forth the reconciliation. Now we can be reconcilers. And we reconcile the things in our mind that we don't understand by getting understanding through the elders and the apostles. If we don't understand something, call up and ask. That's what we need to do. Don't go by your own thought either. A lot of knowledge takes place here. A lot of knowledge. And you can be led the wrong way. Why not go to where the altar is and get the answer? See what I was saying before? The altar's been established in us. And the priests were the ones that took care of the altar. Well, who are the priests today? It's the elders, right? He's the high priest, and he's made us high priests. Didn't it say that we're going to become priests and kings? It says in the first chapter of Revelation, doesn't it? That's our office, guys. You realize you're a priest and that you're a king? You're also a follower of Christ. You're a son of God. You're a disciple. You're all of those things. You're the light. You're the salt. Doesn't he say all of those things reside in you? Those are the things that God wants us to use. Do we have tools that we can use, Jacob? There are tools, aren't they? The tools are of Christ, and they're spiritual. They're in the Word of God. Are there words that we can speak? Yes, He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So yes, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Among us means that in us is really what it is. Does that dwell inside you? Most definitely. You say you're followers of Christ. That must mean that you have Christ in you, the hope of glory. We talked about hope with Dan a couple of weeks ago, didn't we? The hope of glory. The hope of the glory of the heavens is in you. So this is a true hope. It's not one of those things like we say in the world, well, I hope I get this job, or I hope I get that. No, it's not like that. This is a sure hope that's based on prophecy. And what God says He's going to do, He's going to bring to pass. So is it a pure hope? Is it a hope that's established on a sure foundation? And I'm going to tell you this, it's hope that is not seen. Scripture says, if you can see it, what do you hope for it for? If there are things you can see, and that's what you, why would you hope? You see it. But these are things that are not seen, but will you see something afterwards? After your faith walks you through that door of the celestial, guess what? God will start showing you images of the heavenly. It's not seen here is where it's not going to be seen, but you are going to see the things of God that God has prophesied that you will see, and He's bringing them to pass. Say, I don't know if I can believe that. You better believe it, because that's what God's doing. Partake of it, because this is what He's saying. So listen to this next part. I'm going to say this one again. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Verse 20. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. God's begging, beseeching. He's asking you by us. He's saying by us because He preached this already. This is Paul speaking. He beseeches you to become ambassadors. He said, this is how I came to you. I came as an ambassador. And now I'm coming to you to let you know. He's beseeching, He's begging you that through us, through the word we've spoken to you, that you become ambassadors also. Does God want more of this to happen? Rick said he's greedy. He wants all of it back, right? God wants everything back. Well, how do you think He's going to do? He's going to have ambassadors in your world, inward and outward, to go and win those things that need to be won, to bring them together into a one. Heaven and earth into a one. This is what He's doing. This is a powerful thing. So He's reconciling to bring us to a one. Without sin, without weakness. You see how this works? Full of grace and mercy. This is what God's doing, bringing us back to that one, Ceci. He wants us to be part of Him, the one that walks with God constantly. So we're the one that walks with God constantly because we've been reconciled. So we're ambassadors. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. There goes that righteousness again, huh? That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. You have Christ, we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. That's the operation that's taken place. You have Christ in you? Are you anointed? So that righteousness has been made full, hasn't it? By Christ being in you, you have been reconciled to God, and the righteousness of God has been made evident through the Christ in you. So can I say you have righteousness in you? None of you would be if you didn't have some. Are we growing in it? That's what we have to do. Huh? I go back to that altar again of Jacob. When he awoke from that thing, it was such a dreadful thing to him at first, because as a man, you say, oh man, I'm in a place of God. God's there, whatever. And I'm just like Isaiah said, man, I'm undone. That's how he felt at first. It's a dreadful place because my sins are made known and my thoughts are being made known. Everything. It's not a dreadful place. It's where God wants you to be so He can look at all of it, every bit of you, and then start helping you overcome the things that shouldn't be there. So is it a dreadful place, or is it the house of God, like he finally came to the conclusion of? Yeah, it's the house of God. It's the righteousness of God being made manifest. And when we come up as filthy rags against righteousness, we feel so bad because we know we're not clean, right? But what does God do? Does he clean you up? That's the thing. You're close. He's cleaning you up every day. When these things come, fight against them and be converted. Allow the conversion to take place. Allow the regeneration to take place. When these things come, we get flustered because of all of them coming. We start getting thoughts about what I don't know how to do here and whatever, and I'm weak and I got sin in me and whatever. That's what all this crap is right here. But what if you thought, this is my opportunity to change it, convert it, regenerate it by following this, by being obedient, by being trustworthy, faithful? What if you can do that? What if you start appealing to God in the midst of all your fluster, all those voices that are speaking to you? What if in the midst of that, I said, I know what I need to do. He's bringing doctrine and reproof and correction to me. He's instructing me right now of how I can overcome this thing. Wow. Because that's what he's doing, isn't he? So we talked to you about that sword before. Remember when we talked the sword of the Spirit, the only offensive weapon that's in that list. The only thing that's offensive, the thing that cuts. Doesn't it say it's sharper than any two-edged sword? Let me read something to you here. Probably be just about done. Okay, here's what he says here. He goes through all of those things, and he ends up with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. But he says this, which is what we did this morning. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So do we pray one for another? For the whole body? For all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador. There's that word again, huh? For which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I might speak boldly as I ought to speak. So, are we in bonds sometimes to this stuff? He said, I want you to pray for me all the more with supplication and prayer, that out of those bonds I will speak and bring the word forth boldly so that I can overcome. I'll be an ambassador for Christ. He's saying in the midst of all that, be an ambassador. Does that make sense? This is all about being righteous, guys. You want to be an ambassador for Christ? You want to represent the kingdom of God? You want to represent the nation that we're a part of? We're part of the nation of celestial. That's what we're part of. Part of the heavenly, aren't we? Part of the anointing. That's our kingdom. That's what God wants us to be part of, to realize we're part of. You know what? We get fooled a whole lot. Things just get over our eyes. They kind of close them a little bit. We go back into a sleep. We forget who we are. You're ambassadors. Start thinking of yourself as that. You represent who? Christ and his kingdom. So would you want to bring any shame to that? No, you represent Christ and his kingdom. Make the decisions. You're closer than you think, like the song says. You are so close to overcoming things that come against you. And some of you say, I don't know if I could ever overcome it. Yeah, you can. Just call on this. Believe this. Trust in the word that's being preached to you, and you will overcome. The very time that it happens to you, you'll think about it. And you'll say, Lord, help me right now. Help me to overcome. Let me convert this thing. What if you never think about it? Why don't you ever try it? You never know if something's going to work unless you try it. That's even anything you get. I'm not going to buy a new car and not try it. I'm going to get in there and turn that ignition, go out there, see how it does, the whole thing, right? I'm using a natural example. You're never going to know anything unless you try it. How does that work with Jesus? You never know if this is going to actually happen for you unless you try it. Got to start trying it. Be an ambassador. The ambassador will try it because he knows who he serves. Does that make sense? That's it for me today, guys. Hey, you have a question for me? Anybody have a question for me? Or a comment, if you have a comment. I'm looking at an answer to prayer. It works. All right, guys, I'm done. Hope you got something out of it.